Just ask the ladies who host the different meetings I go to. I was lucky. Always looking for something to eat and drink. That's all right. Praise God. Look at this morning. You know, if you haven't already sensed it, just the Spirit of God is here. I don't know if everyone is a believer. I pray, God, that you are. If you're not, I pray by the time the service is over that you'll sense something in your heart why we do celebrate Christmas. It's a beautiful season, but, you know, there are many people today that are going through things that this season, when it should be joyous, they're experiencing some very difficult times. Some have lost loved ones or are losing loved ones. You know, even at the hospital, you can see people in all different ways and forms of oppression, sadness, and sicknesses, and families gathered around and stuff like that. But, you know, the reason why we do even the Christmas carols is to bring the light of the gospel, to bring smiles in those places, because people, when they should be home, they're not home enjoying their families, they're not enjoying good times. And it's just a matter of getting out and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people who are less fortunate. This morning, my message, I've got it entitled, The Baby That Changed the World. I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's a good title to have. Just want you to know, too, before we even go any further, that this morning, we love you as a church, if you're not regulars. And Pastor Moran and I love all of you with all of our hearts and with all of our lives as well. People from this church, and if you're just visiting from this church, feel welcome if you're visiting this morning. But the other thing I want you to know is you're not here, and I'm not here by chance. You're here by divine appointment. You know, we sing these songs, and this morning I was made so aware of sometimes leaving the best time, one of the best times of the year, until now. You know, you make things joyous, you feel joyous, you get, you know, you do things around with family members, and you start, you know, singing, and you're happy. But, you know, the baby Jesus we're going to be talking about this morning, the things that I want to reveal to you that would sort of jerk the slack out of your thinking, maybe, or help you to think clearer, as it's done my own thinking, is just to give glory to God and to help us see things that God is real. And the way he does things is real, but it's not the way where we always expect God to do things. So you're not here by chance, you're here by divine appointment, because the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. Has anyone helped to get the sunrise up this morning? Anyone see the sunrise? I saw it. I'm always seeing it now. God put it all into the factor of every day he makes something new every day. And today we're facing another clean slate, pretty much. And we want to enjoy ourselves in the presence of the Lord, because he's got things for you that you cannot do by yourself that he's going to do for you this morning. The title, I just want us to think about it just for a moment. The title is The Baby That Changed the World. Doesn't sound very interesting sometimes, but if you think about it for a moment, I want to use an illustration of how many moms and dads do we have here? Just raise your hands. You know, let's just for a couple of seconds, let's turn the clock back. Remember the days, moms and dads, when you were dating. Remember the times when you were not married and you had no children. You'd be able to say very easily while you're dating, love or honey, let's go out tonight and have some pizza. Let's go out and have a good time tonight. Let's get together with so-and-so and play some cards, or let's just go to the movies. And it was so easy, wasn't it? And I'm thinking about myself, because it was easy, man, back then. We did it all the time, always doing something. You know, and then, you know, you get engaged, and there's the talk about getting married one day. And so you're thinking, okay, time's coming to an end for all the fun. Honey, can we go out tonight? Let's go out and have some fun. Let's go to the movies. Let's go out and have pizza. Let's get with the gang again. And just let's go to the beach for a beach walk. Let's do something, man, exciting. And then you get married. All the people that are married are smiling. And you still haven't had a child maybe yet. And so you still know that you got some good times to make a phone call. Let's go out. Let's have some pizza. Let's get with the gang and have some good times. But then there comes a day, you know what's coming next, don't you? There comes a day when daddy who wasn't a daddy and mom who wasn't a mummy are now a daddy and mummy because they found out they're going to have a baby. And so you say, probably the husband says this, honey, let's go out and get something to eat. Let's go out and get the gang. And she says, no, we can't because we have to buy things for the baby, nappies and furniture. And we got to start saving money and we got to start saving for the education. And when you go to bed that night, I don't know about you, but when I went to bed the first time I found out we were going to have our first child, Aubrey, we went to bed, and I almost hit my head on the back of the headboard. I thought, oh, my God. There's three of us in this bed. And I've got a responsibility. And so our whole world from being free indeed was not in bondage, really. But things changed. Things changed. They were still a little bit, we could go out a little bit, but when the baby came, when Aubrey came as our firstborn, we had to make a lot of adjustments because she changed our lives. And I say that in a good way. And we had our son. And you know what I'm talking about. Things really sort of changed. Well, this little baby Jesus, when he came on the scene, changed the whole world. Do I have an amen from someone today who's a parent? Is your life changed because of your children or your child? I don't hear anything. Okay. You know, today we're going to celebrate, and we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And there'll never, ever be another birth like his. Never will be. Never has been. There's something unique and special that makes Jesus Christ and his birth not the culmination of just buying Christmas trees and Santa Claus and all the things that we do to celebrate the holiday. Now, I'm not smacking you on the hand if you have Christmas trees. I just want a small one next year because they're easy to take down or throw out, dispensable ones. Maybe I should make some money on that. Anyway. I want us to take a look very quickly to the Christmas story and just take a look at the unique things. Let's take a look at Matthew. I'll read it from there, I think. Matthew chapter 1. Luke has got a tremendous version, but I'll just go and cut some of the verses down. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That is the difference between Jesus and any other baby that was ever born, including our own. Jesus was born of his father. DNA was all different. His whole character was going to be different. But the thing that made him like you and I was the fact that he was born of a virgin. And he was all man and he was all God. That makes him a person who is able to, a human being who is able and going to be able to redeem us from all the sin that will ever destroy us and send us to hell. Because if you are not born again and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, sorry to say, and I really don't want to even say it, but the truth is you'll spend eternity in hell, separated from God. But Jesus made a way. If we can have the next verse, thank you. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's you and I today as well. Amen. If you know Jesus, and it's open to anyone. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying this, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Never another baby that was ever born had God with us, Emmanuel. Praise God. Next verse we have, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Joseph did not know her or did have sexual relations with her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, the Redeemer. Did I give you more verses on that? Well, okay. I'll just read it right here. The last couple says this. Then Joseph, being aroused, okay, and he says, and he did not know her until they had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, again, the miraculous name, Jesus, Yeshua, in the Hebrew. All God, all man, fulfilling every prophecy in the Old Testament that was ever spoken out to the nth degree in timing of everything that was said about him. Fulfilling all that he was going to be, all that he was going to do, all that he was going to accomplish, how he was going to be born, how he would live, what he would do, and what and how he would die. For you and for me. Praise God. Aren't you glad you don't have a prophecy like that over your life? In Jesus Christ, he was all man, again, all God. John 3:16 says something very interesting about this whole thing. And it's Jesus saying this, but this is God speaking. John 3:16, you probably know this by heart. For God so loved the world. That's you and me. All that he created. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Yeshua, or Jesus, that whoever believes in him, notice, whoever, that means that there are going to be some who are not going to want to believe in Jesus. The results are the consequences they'll have to bear. But the evidence is there for them to make the choice. It's all a choice. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life that only comes through Jesus. With this verse, we see in Christ, we have an accurate and intricate and unbreakable link between the God of all creation and the God of all love. Very important. God, you could think of it this way. God said, God gave us his son Jesus. And he says, and he was born into this world. He says, every time you think of the baby, think of me. Every time you think of this baby Jesus, think of me. That's one of the reasons why we celebrate Christ the way we do at this particular time as well. God, it's interesting, God always has, if you read the Bible enough, God always has ways that he does things that just don't fit where you come from. We all come from the blue ball floating in space. We all come from on this little blue ball floating in space from different cultures. And so we all have different mindsets of how we think and how we do things. Some of us who travel will take on the culture and learn the cultures of the places that we eventually go to. But Jesus transcends them all because he made every single one of us. And he knew all about the cultures that each of us were going to live in. So he has a most unique way of revealing himself to this entire world. Back at a time when the Roman Empire, which was horrible, the things that they did, the pressures that they put on people, the iniquity that was on this earth, what they were doing to civilization was terrible. And it was just beginning. The unique way I think that we can see how God, I'm trying to put this all in focus here. When you look, when anyone looks at a child, when you look at a child, what do you see when you first look at a child, and what do you think? What are you sensing? I know when I see a child, a baby, I get all sort of like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't think it's just me. I just see perfection. I see beauty. I see a little human being that has got so much potential. But I also see a little human being that's vulnerable to the elements and helpless to the elements. Isn't it interesting what God did when he gave us Jesus? The strategy here is very impacting. For God, the God of all the universe, revealed himself. And again, he was saying to us, when you see this little baby, when you do find out, if you've just looked at this baby, even or heard for this about this baby, even for the first time, think of me when you hear about Jesus, the little baby Jesus. You see, in our culture, in our way of thinking, in our nature, we want things to be big and bold and strong. We want to see things that will just swoop us off of our feet, capture our attention, catch our eyes, cause our hearts to beat faster, keeping our attention at all times. I'm going somewhere with this. But we have to see here is that God didn't do it that way. How did God do this? God proves himself and he chooses the way he wants to do things. If we can look at Isaiah chapter 55, you probably know this as well, but let's take a look at these two verses. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For God says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. When you think about the baby Jesus, think about God. Think about these verses that we're looking at today. Because God did some spectacular things. You know, John, in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 8 through 9, if we could, did I give you that, Sarah? 1 John chapter 4. He who does not love does not know God. Do you love? For God is love. There's a description of God. Well, I thought God was powerful because it took power to create everything he created. Yes, let's go to the next verse, 9. In this, the love of God was manifested, made to come forth, to be seen toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. It doesn't make any sense why God would choose to come into this world as a baby to show himself off. When we're looking for thrones, we're looking for people around this deity, this deity, however you want to call it, to see someone come in with a magnitude that would just draw attention and have all people around him worship him. It wasn't that way. God didn't choose that way. In fact, God caused, on the day that God caused this, he caused a global event in history that affects not only past and the present, but the future of things. He affected it in a strange way. He did things in a strange way. He said that he was going to send a son, and that little baby, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, landed in a little manger out in nowhere. Out of nowhere. The baby Jesus was born as a little human being. Beautiful. Whoever looked at him would smile. His mother and dad were so proud, knowing that this was the Son of God. Someone special. This was God. He was just like any other human being, looked like anybody else. He was vulnerable. He was a helpless little baby. Yet, he was Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ, he grew up into manhood. The story goes on about his life. At about 30 years old, he began turning the world right side up, not upside down, but right side up, because it was already underneath things that Satan had done to cause twistings in our makeup. Through his teaching, his miracles, his signs, and his wonders, all of this Jesus began to do and cause people to gravitate, to look, who is this man? Remember the baby? What happens to babies? Eventually they grow up. They manifest who they are. He began to manifest that he was all man, but he was all God, someone really different. Not like the religious leaders, but like his Father, all God Almighty. 33 years old, he was sentenced to die on a cross for crimes he had never committed. He didn't commit any crimes. He was put in a grave after he died, in a grave and a tomb. He rose again on the third day. Why? Because death cannot hold God down. Because God is love. And God is life. How ironic all of these things are when you look at all of these things in that this little short story. How ironic it is that there was a silent witness that went out, the birth of Jesus Christ, into this world in a little manger with this little baby. And it goes on in his life, to the silent witness of an empty tomb that was where Jesus was buried and put in. With a broken body, a dead body. But he did not stay there. And that was in the silence, in a sense, of this world as well. Isaiah 55 again says, you know, we have to think about that. That God's ways of displaying himself, he's displaying his power, his understanding, his wisdom, and the way he knows how to do things. They're far above us. The birth of Jesus is far above us if you really try to think about it. But he gives us things to understand and make it a lot simpler for us, because when you look at a baby, you can understand what happened. You can understand that that baby's going to grow. It had a father. It had a mother. It has a future. It has a destiny. Yes, that baby's going to die one day, the natural baby. But thanks unto God that Jesus was not just like you and just like me, because he was God wrapped up in flesh. That's all we have to do is read the old, old story. Remember that song? I'll tell the old, old story of Jesus and his glory. Have you ever heard that? Probably not the young ones. Sing it all the time in our Baptist church. So all you have to do is hear and read about Jesus in the Bible, and you'll get all the facts that you need for your life to change you, to help you. There's one thing I want us to listen to before I close is this. God will not force himself on you? Did you ever see a baby rise up and force himself on you? I want milk, Mom, now. Boom. And you better get it to me quick. Or else I'll grab you by the nape of the neck. You know, babies don't do that stuff, man. God was giving a description of how the sensitivity of how he came into this world, the sensitivity, but also the extreme wisdom and power that flows through his love to create a little baby like that. And to think about and believe in a baby, today you got to be joking, man. People, like I say, they want to see signs. They'll believe in Jesus and one day, and then they don't believe in Jesus. And I've gone through the stage in my early life that I believed in Jesus, and then I used to question Jesus. I thought about walking away from Jesus. But you know something? Love of God constrained me and always pulled me back because I knew God was alive in me, and he made me alive. If you know Christ today, don't play Jonah, swimming away from God, try to do things your own way, putting God to the side, because God's love is bigger than you. It's bigger than your heart. It's bigger than your mind, because he says, my thoughts are bigger than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. He displayed his love through Christ, but he leaves us with all the information and all the evidence, and he leaves us with a choice. God left us with a choice this morning. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus, you've made a choice. If you're here this morning and you're walking away from Jesus, Jesus' call is to come to him, all you who are laboring and in heavy work in this life that's causing you to wear out, causing you to do things and causing you to go through things that you never thought you'd ever pass through. But God still sees you and God still loves you. Because God's love is not like man's love. We have sort of like conditional love. We love people to a certain degree, and then if certain things cause us to look at people and say, that's it, there's a cutoff line, thank God, God's not like that. He'll love you to the end. He'll love me to the end. Always calling us back, because he's our everlasting Father. He made us in his image. He leaves us with a choice this morning. If you're here this morning, we're not talking about joining a church, by the way, if you want to accept Jesus Christ and you're here and you've never done that before. It's your choice. Actually, now it's your responsibility to take the evidence, and you have to do something with it. You're going to do two things with the evidence presented to you in the way I did, and I hope it was clear enough. I pray it was. Is that you'll make a choice to accept Jesus Christ into your life, all having to do with this little baby and what he did and how God sent him. And just by faith, believe that when you accept Jesus into your life, God will come in. He'll forgive you of all your sins. That's why he came. And he was the only one that could do it. And forget all of your sins and just wash your insides, not your outside, and not your mind with books and things that you can sort of like feel better about yourself when you read positive thinking. All of a sudden, God washes your heart. God washes our hearts with the blood that he shed on the cross. That was a prophecy. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The punishment we should have received on ourselves, he took it upon himself for everyone. By his stripes, we are redeemed. We are healed. You can make a choice this morning to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can make a choice this morning to continue walking on in solid faith, following after Christ, knowing that for full well that God is always has his eyes on you, and he's got a destiny and a plan for you. That's good. Or you can take the evidence this morning and put it in a little package, stick it in your pocket for a rainy day, and hope your pocket doesn't get a hole in it, that you lose the evidence. And just keep on waiting and trying and doing your own thing. You can do your own thing because God says he gives you a choice. He says, today I present before you death and life. He says, but in case you don't know what to do, choose life through my son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, this morning we just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for this precious story about this little baby Jesus that was so powerful. Everything that was in eternity was wrapped up in this little baby, Lord, to cause our redemption to come to take place. With a love, Lord God, that overlooks and continues to seek out the wayward son, the wayward daughters, those that have fallen into sin, those that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Father, you keep on waiting. You keep on knocking on the door. Thank you for your patience, Lord, with us. Thank you for your endurance with us. Thank you for your plan for us. Thank you for your destiny for each of our lives. That's a good destiny and a good plan. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would make a decision for you, not to join this church, but to join heaven. And that way to heaven is through you, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that now in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I ask that you'd bless our fellowship and the food that is going to be presented to each of us, Lord God. And we have so much to be thankful for in this nation, Lord God. The abundance that you've given us, Lord Jesus. The freedom to enjoy something like this, where in other countries, Lord God, we'd have soldiers around and one word said about the Bible or anything, we'd be put in prison or killed. Thank you for our nation, Lord. The great Southland of the Holy Spirit. We give you the praise, Lord, that you cover our land, as we pray. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. We stand in the gap this morning, Jesus, for the sins that are going on in our nation. But we have to say just like you, Lord Jesus, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Holy Spirit, cause them to come to the senses, those who don't know you, Lord. Open their eyes to see you, Lord Jesus, that you're not a hard taskmaster, but you're a God of love and of patience, and you're our everlasting Father. We give you the praise, Lord, and we give you the glory in Jesus' precious name. And all the saints said, amen. Have some fellowship. Again, if we could just have a few people help to pull the chairs down or put them around the tables and things like that. Is that right? Amen. Does anyone who wants it needs prayer for anything, I'll spend a couple of minutes with you. If not, we'll have some fellowship and food, and the Lord bless you. Have a great Christmas.